Stand by for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The thick crust, deep dish, Chicago style Medicare podcast. He's still fighting the war of northern aggression, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
So that's what day it is. It's Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast day. That's pretty exciting for me. I am so happy to have this day roll around where I can talk to my beloved audience. At least I think you're beloved. You may not think the same about me, but I want to thank Drew McMillan, our announcer, for that beautiful intro. He is a Canadian television host on Powerboat TV. And you can watch him at work on episodes on the website, powerboattv.com. But remember, he only speaks Canadian. So if you don't speak Canadian, I wouldn't even bother to watch it. But unless you have English closed captioning there, then it'll probably translate his Canadian into English for you. Thank you for joining us today. This is Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, inspired entirely by my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. And I can't say that enough because it's going to be replaced by Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021. And then I wonder what's going to happen to our 30-second radio spot. And I'm so nostalgic about that. I'm going to ask Randy if he would play that for us right now.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thanks, Randy. I can't hear enough of that, but it's going to go away, at least in its present form, because I made the mistake of saying 2020 in there. And in a few months, the 2021 version of Medicare for the Lazy Man is going to be the primary thing we have available to us. And of course, like the current 2020 book, that'll be on Amazon in paperback form, in Kindle form, and in audio form. So that'll be something for you to go to Amazon and acquire. Randy always tells you to buy a whole bunch of them. I think that's probably good advice. It's just hard to understand how people can carry a whole bunch of audiobooks out the store entrance. But I'm going to leave that to you clever listeners to figure out. So speaking of Randy, as I have several times, let's say hello to Randy Carson. Hi, Randy.
How you doing?
You can hear my voice echoing, by the way. Is that what you wanted to do, to hear me twice?
No, I just once is good. I was okay. I was trying out my Canadian accent, eh?
He would understand that. He would know exactly what that means.
That's the only Canadian word I know, eh?
That's about the only one they have, I think. The whole country built on one word, eh?
I know.
Well, my neighbor in Cave Creek has a story about how they came to spell Canada, and it was a minister of the court talking to the queen, and somebody said, "Well, what are we going to name this place? It's real big." And he says, "Well, let's start with the letter C, eh? And then let's do N, eh? And then do, you know, and then it goes on like that."
Oh, my gosh. That is, I've never heard that one. I'm going to have to write that one down because, you know, that's, I very seldom have heard a Canadian joke.
Well, this guy knows a bunch of them because he's from Maine. And he was the president of a property and casualty insurance company. So he's a smart, smart guy. But he enjoys, partying, and he enjoys joking about his fellow human beings, especially Canadians. I think there's a thing, kind of an Iowa versus Nebraska thing. I'm pretty sure it's Maine versus Canada. The same thing goes on there.
Yeah. I do have one more fun fact about Canada, though.
Lay it on me.
Because I've already given the answer away, but what city in the United States actually sits north of Canada?
Oh, is it, let's see, what city in the United States? Well, Nome?
No, no, the answer is Detroit, because you know how Canada swoops down there and there's a little piece south of Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've won many a beer with that.
Well, you wouldn't have won one from me, because that little part that swoops south of Detroit is exactly the part where Drew McMillan, our announcer, former CPA, well, I guess he's still a CPA, and host of Powerboat TV, that's where he got married.
So oh, no kidding.
Just about a year ago, he and his lovely bride held a wedding, and all the Joneses and McMillans gathered from all over the United States and Canada, I guess. And that was on that very southern tip of that little piece of land, which is on one of the Great Lakes, Erie, I guess. And that's where the wedding was held.
Well, that's beautiful country.
That's really nice country, and it was warm and sunny. And then they invited us up to their family cottage on a lake in Muskoka, or near Muskoka in Hamilton. And so we drove up there, and they've got the weirdest damn thing. Leave it to Canada to do this. We're in a power boat, and they said, okay, we're going to go from one lake to another lake, but you don't go through like a strait or a creek or anything. You go through a lock. So we went into this lock. Actually, we lined up behind a couple other boats. Did you know that my voice is bouncing back audibly?
I don't hear it on this end.
Yeah, it's if I liked my voice better, I would be very pleased with it.
I'm not hearing the bounce back.
Well, anyway, let's ignore it then. I probably don't either. It's probably in my head. But so we pulled into the lock, which was kind of small, probably, I don't know, 30 feet wide and 50, 60 feet long. It was operated by a high school kid, and it was all manual. And so what he did was he had a gate that he would close with a big, long wooden beam to give him leverage. And that's how he would close the lock. And then he would open this big old rusty valve to drain the water out, and we would slowly sink down to the level of the lower lake. I'll bet there was a 20-foot difference between these two lakes. And then he would open up the other lock door, and we would go out into the lower lake. And then when we came back, we reversed the process. Basically, this kid had a couple of his buddies there, and although it was a nice, warm summer day, the buddies were in the cottage where this kid would warm himself in the wintertime, I guess, or in cold weather. And there were clouds of dope smoke just rising from this cottage. So I don't think you have to be really sharp to operate. You don't have to be on your game to operate a man-operated lock in Canada.
There wasn't a lot of detail work, is what you're saying.
No computerized elements to the whole operation. It's basically step one, step two, and then step two, step one.
Open this valve, close this valve.
Yeah, open the door, close the door, push on
open the door, close the door. Yeah,
and then go in the hut with your buddies for a while, and then come out again.
So. Well, I've got a whole lot of stories to tell you about going through the Panama Canal, but we'll save that for another time.
I'm guessing the operators of the Panama Canal don't have clouds of dope smoke rising from their...
No, they don't. They really don't. The one little hanging chad I'll leave is I want the audience to guess, and it will take a little bit of research, but how many horsepower motor does it take to open the gates on the Panama Canal?
Can I guess?
Sure.
I would guess that it's probably, and this is not where most people would go, because those gates weigh tons and hundreds of tons, right? Huge amounts of concrete and steel. I would guess it would be a motor that produces enough horsepower to operate your riding lawnmower.
It's about right, yeah. You're a little bit low. But it's an electric motor. Well, it used to be gas when they first built the lock, but now it's been converted to a 35-horsepower electric motor, And the reason that that's all they need is the gates, as you might guess, are so well balanced.
I have seen smaller versions of that when you go into the Titan II missile silo south of Tucson. Have you been there?
No, I have not.
Oh boy, that's a trip that you should not miss. I mean, I'd really feel badly if you wound up dead one day and you'd never gone there. But they have blast doors. It's all underground, and it's designed to take a pretty close to direct hit from a Russian nuclear device. But it has blast doors that seal it off that weigh, I want to say, 12 or 15 tons, and they are able to be moved by little kids.
Yeah.
There's always a little kid on a tour, and they say, hey, kid, push that door open. You just moved, 12 tons or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing what balance and leverage can do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we did pledge to each other. We did not do the sharing of blood like Indian blood brothers do, but we pledged a while back that we would get to it or get after it early in the episode, and we failed to do that again. But I do want to spend a little time talking about some items that I discovered on my desk. As Randy knows, my house is for sale, and every time somebody wants to come look at the house, I have to take a big shovel and shovel all of this garbage into a closet and slam the door real fast. And there are a few things that floated to the surface that I wanted to talk about today. And one of those is a letter from a Mr. Wagner, I believe his name is. And he said, first, I want to thank you for your wonderful, informative book. It helped me clear some of the fog of Medicare, and I'm grateful. And so, that's all I really need to hear from anybody who writes in. Your book helped me out. That's all the reward I'm ever looking for. But he goes on to say, today, while researching the high deductible Plan F options for me, I've learned that Plan F has been discontinued and that my best option at this point is to acquire Plan G coverage. Can you share insight? And I said, well, I certainly can. To be more accurate, Plans F and high deductible Plan F are not legally available to those who were born after 1954. And I said, I'm going to assume that you were born in 1955 or later. They were not taken away or discontinued. They are just not available to be purchased by people who are youngsters. So then I went on to say, if my assumption is correct, you still have two excellent plans available to you, Plan G and High Deductible G, which is brand new in 2020. Plan G is almost as rich as the old Plan F, but it's often priced more attractively. Plan High Deductible G is a terrific substitute for the older plan High Deductible F. A person will be well served by either of these two plans, G or High Deductible G. I have recently contracted with an insurance company that offers excellent rates for residents of California. A 65-year-old, like this gentleman here, a 65-year-old non-smoker living near San Diego would pay $147 a month for the Plan G, the most comprehensive coverage available on the market today. $147 a month. That's pretty good for comprehensive coverage. However, if that same person wanted to consider the high performance, high deductible Plan G, the monthly premium would be $29. Now that would provide fantastic protection from high medical bills. A high deductible plan is unfortunately named. The high deductible plans are really not deductible, high deductibles at all. They come at the end of the process. So what you've got is Medicare with a very small deductible. This year it's $198. After that, Medicare pays 80% of all of your outpatient expenses. And it pays generally more than that if you're hospitalized. The hospital portion, Part A of Medicare, has $1,004 deductible. But if you're in the hospital for a couple of days, that $1,000 gets pretty small by comparison to the total hospital bill that you're going to see. But basically, the best bang for your buck is going to be high deductible plan G. And that is what I always tell my prospective clients. In fact, all of my clients. So I have to mention non-smoker, and he wrote me back. And he said, I am knocked out by this prompt and timely reply. This is what I love to do. I like to talk to people about Medicare. And so when they write me, I can't be happier. I'm just enthralled, and I look forward to corresponding with them again. So he said, many thanks once again, not only for this email, but also for the incredibly informative book and the resources for me that were in what I read. He said, yes, you're correct. I was born after 1954. Having entered this world in February of 1955. And I am appreciative of the reference to the high deductible plan G. My wife, who is 1 year younger than me, and I will make our decision tonight, thanks to this good reference. This occurred yesterday. After reading your book and doing some online research, I came to a similar conclusion regarding Medicare Part C, which is Medicare Advantage plans, or as Randy calls them, Medicare disadvantage plans. He said, I've been a victim of purchasing the Brooklyn Bridge in the past, and I appreciate the heads up. Just for comparison, I'm going to ask our family insurance agent about both Part C, which is Medicare disadvantage plans, just to see what he says, and for a reference on Part D, a drug plan, and a plan similar to the high deductible plan G. Well, he's not going to find a plan similar. He's only going to find exactly high deductible plan G if that's what he asked for. And then he says, thanks to a wonderful Christmas present in 2005, my wife hasn't smoked since that day, and I'm delighted to report that I never fell into that habit. Now, Randy and I can't say that. We are both smokers. Even though neither of us has smoked for years, we consider ourselves to just be one half step away from smoking again, although it's unlikely to happen anytime soon. But we don't hate smoking. We just don't do it. But, you know, we could be persuaded, I bet. Anyway, he says, my correspondent says, I'll return to Amazon when I acquire your book and make sure to express my positive thoughts. Oh, I'll return to Amazon where I acquired your book. Oh, and one other note of a personal nature. While I appreciate the good manners and polite nature of your email, I wish to make sure that you can address me by my first name. Mr. So-and-so was my father, and while I've been called other names, that's mostly by my wife when I fail to empty the trash. Please stay healthy in all this difficult time. So I then addressed him by his first name, and I said, I never had the pleasure of meeting your father, but I'm hoping to remember your admonition. By all means, have a consultation with your family agent. I applaud loyalty to those who have done well for us in the past. However, choosing the best drug plan requires a somewhat different approach. Seems to me I might have touched upon this in our last podcast, Randy. Does this sound familiar to you?
It does. As a matter of fact, I almost remember it well enough to think that I could do it.
Well, in that case, let's just summarize it by saying I told him that if his agent doesn't use the method I propose in my book for choosing the least expensive drug plan, that he should go to the book and ask the agent or use those many steps himself, I think in chapter 9, in order to find the best drug plan. His agent may not have read my book and may not know about the process for using a government website to find the cheapest drug plan. So anyway, that was a guy from California near San Diego, and I was just enthralled with the idea that here's a 65-year-old who could get kick-ass coverage, protection from all of the nasty things that Medicare can throw at you for a grand total of $29 a month. Now, if he had a really, really bad year with a lot of high medical bills, he might have to meet the deductible in his high deductible plan. That deductible is $2,300. And then the plan would operate as though he had the richest of all possible coverages for the balance of that year. It would pay 100% of all the Medicare approved expenses until the following year. However, he wouldn't really be paying $2,340. because we'd have to take the monthly amount that he would be saving. In this case, he could, at age 65, sign up for a full Plan G for, I think, $195. But if he did the high deductible plan instead, excuse me, I was wrong about that, it's $147. But if he did the high deductible plan instead at 29, then he's got basically $117, $118 a month that he can sock right into the bank. At the end of the year, he will have saved $1,400, $1,500. So if he ever had a bad year and had to spend that deductible money before his plan started in at 100%, subtract what his savings are, and he's going to be money ahead. So the high deductible plan, no matter what they try to tell you, is the biggest bang for your buck for most healthy people who are not afraid of a little bit of risk. And frankly, the people who are going to tell you that's a bad idea are those who value their commission earnings. And that's the other thing about high deductible Plan G. The commission is just a teeny tiny fraction of what a Medicare disadvantage plan commission would be. That's why you're almost never going to hear about it. So,
did I tell you my method to find a drug plan?
You didn't, but I'd like to hear it.
It's a little bit different than what you're describing.
Can I get my pencil out? Because we may want to put it in the next year's book.
Well, I think you probably should. I would begin taking notes. I usually call up Doug and I say, help me, help me, help me.
Oh, boy. And you know that that's a method that costs you nothing.
I know. Well, nah. I bought you a beer last time.
Well, I finally remember that beer, and I'm hoping, again, that it will happen soon. Although we're 1,800 miles apart, so that's not going to happen real soon. But
We follow all of Doug's orders. You know, we evaluate. Well, I shouldn't say we. Okay, let me be very honest. My wife evaluates all the drug plans every year, and so to see if we're getting the biggest bang for our buck, like you'll see in the book. You know, if you follow Doug's book, there's really nowhere you can drop off the rails. So, you know, you just got to do it.
Well, I appreciate that. Those are very kind words. And I am going to be asking your lovely wife at our next meeting how we can promote our plan in California. Because as you heard, those numbers are very attractive.
Oh, I know.
So, just by comparison, California, 65-year-old, In the San Diego area was $29 a month for a high deductible Plan G. In Arizona, it's almost twice that much. It's $52 a month for that non-smoking 65-year-old male. And that makes California a very attractive place to, if you live, these rates are really attractive for getting kick-ass coverage at very little cost.
So any of you guys out there and gals with a California zip code and a California resident, keep watching the website real close because, as Doug said earlier, we're fixing to turn some things green that haven't been green, and one of them is going to be California. So keep track.
If you're in a big hurry, you want to move like yesterday, then send us an email at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And we'll jump on it even before your state turns green.
Absolutely. We need to thank you all for joining us. It's been I have really enjoyed this particular podcast. I enjoy them all, but once or twice, you know, throughout the month or the months, one sticks out more than the other. And for some reason, this one just had me fired up. Great news, great stories, great information. So anyway, thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you next time. But in the meantime, you have just spent 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the kid from Oklahoma, and the anti-insurance insurance guy, sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.